CliffCentral.com.
Okay, I think this is what we're doing now while Gareth's going to be away. We're going to play songs to prove why one-hit wonders are one-hit wonders. That was Mojo's What I Mean. And it was quite interesting. Basically, the music video is them in space. It is their most expensive music video because, like, their big hit was just them in a car being French. This one, like, they're in space and they're weightless. Song's crap, though.
This is when they lost their mojo.
Oh, getting back to that whole genre, remember this as well. Come on, points, who is it?
I know what it is.
It's not Sophie Ellis Baxter.
No.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Bring it back. Bring it
back. Bring it back.
What a genre, huh? It's nostalgic for, you know, people who are CS age maybe wouldn't get it. But well done, CS, you got that one.
Yeah, because I think it was redone in South Africa. Like, I feel like we've also houseerized it.
What was her name, though? That's the big question. That's the big trivia question that you must message us on. What was this woman's name?
I don't think I ever knew her name.
She was Scandinavian-ish, I think.
I never knew her name.
Her name was like Maud or Hilda. Monaco was the band, obviously. But her name was like, I don't know, Agnes or... Anyway, we'll get back to that. Right, so Mojo was a one-hit wonder. That's what we learned today. Although the second song, Chilling, wasn't so bad. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. Right, so yeah, you have... interesting discussion point for us today, and this is the interesting thing about Sia Sangweni.
Okay, well,
double barrel.
What is this interesting thing about me that I don't even know?
Well, Sia, it's just that you've got very diverse interests and stuff. Where did you send this thing to me?
Ba-da-ba-ba.
See, when you send stuff, it's got to be incredibly well subjected.
Wow, excuse us. Well, nonetheless, the entire. Point is, I think this show is almost like a therapy session for all of us. Why we always continuously name and shame ourselves, I do not know, but we shall do it nonetheless. You can just quickly check your inbox.
Ah, thank you, Sia, because now it's a technology chat and you're using technology.
Ah, see? It's the circle.
Don't, okay, you know what?
Never mind.
I mean,
we've really had bad singing today. It was me and Mojo put together.
There's only so much singing we can handle for you morning.
Yeah, this is overwhelming.
Okay, yeah, if you don't get the approval of Lucas, then we can't have it.
Okay. I really thought
that is a new rule in the show. If Lucas doesn't want us, nothing can happen. Right, so CS sent me this clip, and now he wants to. Tamira? Is that like Tia and Tamira?
Yes.
Tamira,
yes.
Do they have a talk show as well now?
Yeah, well, not both of them together, but it's the show.
Oh, what happened? Did Tia hit the bottle?
No, she's an actress. Like, she's stuck with the acting thing more.
Okay, so.
Why do you always have to have, like, this pessimistic view on people?
It's
like,
showbiz.
Think of the worst.
It's showbiz.
Why couldn't
she
just be, like, a housewife?
I mean, in a couple of years' time, we're going to be also on the street. Who knows?
Ooh, I refute those words. But anyway, it's the show called The Real, and she had a bit of a big revelation. She was very honest with people about a little bit of an awkward moment that happened to her recently.
Yeah, she got a talk show and Tia didn't.
I have to tell you the story, okay?
What? Okay.
And it just happened, you guys, this past weekend. Okay.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Okay, so you know how you have a computer, right?
Yeah.
And pictures start looping, right?
As a screensaver.
Yeah. From the cloud, iCloud. So Adam... my husband connected the family computer to his iCloud. He had one of his really good friends over. I'm sitting there in front of the computer.
Oh, no.
And guess what I see?
What?
My hoo-ha.
That's her vagina.
I'm scrolling across the screen. So at first I was like, wait a minute. Was that what I thought it was? You guys, I stand there for like another like minute just waiting for it to scroll back around. And then in slow-mo, I saw it again. I was like, no! Oh, my God!
Who's the other woman there? She looked very unimpressed.
I mean, it's the same setup.
Oh, my God!
It's the same setup as those women from The View, right?
Yes.
It's a group of women that...
Yeah.
Oh, she's a comedian.
Yeah,
what's
that's Lonnie Love.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Lonnie Love did not appreciate that story. But what a story. Your hoo-ha.
In front of your husband's friend. Oh.
Not just a friend, good-looking friend.
Isn't it actually more embarrassing for your husband?
That's where I was going to go with that. It's like,
but I think okay, it's your for JJ.
Yeah, but sure. But I mean, but like, see, there's no mystery that she's got a hoo-ha, right?
Mm.
I mean, we know that everyone's got privates. But the fact that he's taken the picture and he's now just, yeah, that's.
I think it's more embarrassing for him because, you know, also husbands have this territorial thing where nobody else can have that kind of access to their wife.
Yeah, and you don't want that to happen.
You know, and because then...
No, it's just instinctive, you know.
Yeah, because then now the friend goes and he tells the other boys, like, oh, you guys will never believe what I saw the other day. And man, she's like this, and her lips hang this way, and this and that. Like,
she's just my buddy Malloy.
Let's
take it down a touch.
Stop unpacking this.
I think it's probably more embarrassing than the husband. Or for the husband.
Personally, if it happened to you, would you feel, if you were to marry in that context, would you feel like, less embarrassed than your
I would still feel embarrassed, but I think it's more embarrassing for the husband.
Well, I mean, was she having a good hoo-ha day or a bad hoo-ha day?
Because it's his
because
it's his friend that's there.
Oh no,
you
guys.
See, if it wasn't his friend that was there, I don't know.
Look, it is kind of awkward, but so I mean, has something similar happened to you, Mubs?
Oh no! As a rule, I don't.
Generally quite guarded about your hoo-ha, which is good.
As a rule, I just don't keep pictures like that anywhere ever. Like, I don't even store stuff to the cloud because I just don't trust anything about technology.
You know, you can be in a safe relationship, a happy relationship, technology leaks.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with people wanting to leak it, it just somehow leaks. So keeping pictures of that kind of stuff, I think is just, it's like this, you know, the whole risk reward situation.
Yeah.
What's the real reward of having a 5-year-old picture of your hoo-ha just circulating on someone's device?
It's just there and your
even if it's just your own device.
Yeah. And your hoo-ha probably doesn't look like that anymore because it's 5 years on. I mean, you know, maybe stuff has happened to it.
And when do you need a hoo-ha picture really? I mean, let's be honest. It's like, well, we got to need, you know, date of birth, your, you know, bank account, and two pictures of your hoo-ha.
But you get like, it's in the moment, and you're like, you're feeling yourself.
Nah,
you want to do
that's one thing that I'll never do.
Personally,
I get that because there are those moments where you think, oh, well, you know, if I just send him this picture, plus the angle makes me look so good. But then very quickly afterwards, there's regrets. You're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done that.
No, but also I think mutual respect is what us humans are going to do, right? We've got to delete that stuff within 2 hours.
Delete.
Doesn't happen like that at all.
But it must, though. I mean,
it should in a perfect
this
world.
This isn't trophy hunting. Well, I've got 8 hoo-ha pictures. What do you got?
You know, I imagine that there are people who sit with folders on their devices of different pics that they've received from different people.
Because for me...
In fact, I know... I know a guy who keeps folders of all the nudes that he's ever received. Yeah, he has a folder of them all.
And how
I
many
don't
does
know why...
But also, like, girls know this, right? So why do girls keep sending nudes?
He's quite a good-looking guy. So, you know, there are a lot of girls who... You know, they'll send him pictures of their boobs or whatever, hoping to tempt him into, you know, sleeping with them. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he sometimes goes through this folder and masturbates to them because I don't know why else you would keep stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the wing here and say he does.
Okay. All right. Then that's the reason. Yes. I know such a person.
Lucas, do you have such a folder?
No, I don't have any folder like that. You know, I just keep pure anime that I watch. That's all.
And my...
Are you masturbate to anime?
Oh, no, come on. I didn't say that. Oh, come on.
Samuel L. Jackson just admitted to watching anime porn.
No, that's called hentai, I think. I don't watch that.
Lucas, you seem to know a lot about this.
That's very stupid.
Anyway, we're not here to roast you. Mubs, you said you had an embarrassing tech story.
Well, it was a WhatsApp group situation, and... And there was a falling out with myself and one individual within the group, but I had completely forgotten that she was still in the group. So I messaged the group to vent my frustration about her. And then immediately as I sent it through, I realized, she's still in the group. And I tried to delete. The two texts just went off and I was completely ruined.
And the smiley face emoji is not going to save you.
Oh, no. Nothing saved me. We haven't spoken ever since, her and I.
You didn't try to.
But I mean, it's okay because we were already at that stage where we both hated each other. So it's fine. Like, that was kind of the move that just solidified the end of the friendship.
Oh, that's so awkward.
It's just silly because I completely forgot that she was there because it's a group of girls. And I just forgot. She's still in the group.
Yeah. Mavale, you are not a nice person. You know?
You see,
found that out now.
I've had a bit of a similar hoo-ha moment.
Oh, Sia. Of course you have.
But it was in high school. And at our high school, we had this thing where if you matriculated and you wanted to actually study teaching, you can come back straight after matriculating and you're like a learner teacher while studying part time as well. So I had this, one of my teachers was like, probably he was like 24 and I was in like grade 11. And he had his own little dick pic in the equation. But now, oh Lord have mercy, I needed to upload a I can't even remember what it was for, but a document onto his flash, and had to take his stick and, you know, put it into the computer, and there were like a bunch of different pictures, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting, like, I don't know, it was like a movie trailer, movie poster, and there was like a car, something that he liked, and I'm like, huh. That is kind of interesting. And was a little dick pic. Now, do I know if it was his penis?
Like,
but in my head, I've now equated the two. I'm like, So every time I've seen Mr. So-and-so after that, I kind of see a whole new side of him. But it's kind of like, it was a moment of, he recognized that I saw it, but then it's kind of an unspoken thing that we don't want to make it an awkward moment, and I was just like, okay, it's time for me to go, and that was it, and it was done. So technology, guys, we're always just going to have these moments regardless whatever happens.
Are you sure it was not John T's USB?
Don't ever take a
view. Listen, yeah, I don't want John T's stick near my hard drive.
Oh, well, yeah. Lucas, what about you?
So you know, on WhatsApp, when WhatsApp came out. So I'm chilling there, minding my own business, and I was still like an active photographer, and, you know, I used to get a lot of bookings from people and hot girls as well. So
So you were an active photographer, but you come in here every morning saying, guys, what must I take a photo of?
Such a little dark horse.
Because come on, you're pushing us for content. Just photograph us.
Nah, man. I'm like, so I'm just chilling there, minding my own business, and she asked me, look, let's get it on this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's right. Yes. Lucky me.
Yeah. That's right.
Lucas with the long lens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to reply to this WhatsApp. So I take the WhatsApp and I reply and tap to the message. Okay, fine. Only after a minute I realize I've replied to my friend, a lady friend of mine who's like, who was helping me to pass my matric. She was helping with math and science.
Oh,
and she thought you were going to repay her like that.
Yeah.
And I said, whoa, wait a minute. How do I fix this? And I'm like, yo, this message was sent to me by somebody, and I just wanted to forward it to my girlfriend, and, you know, try to explain the situation, and she was like, nah, it's okay, man, I normally get this from guys, but like, yeah, you'll be fine.
I just didn't expect it from you, Lucas.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed. I've never spoke to her even today. You
passed maths and science.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. Well, everyone wins. I remember, like, see, the thing is, camera phones changed everything, right?
Yes.
Prior to that, I think we were quite, what's the word, conservative. we might have thought things we never followed through. But the moment everyone started getting camera phones, everyone was using them because the novelty factor was there.
Yes.
So it was anything from obviously taking pictures of your pets, your children, to recording sexual experiences.
Mm. No, right? You were the only one who admitted to doing that around this table. We haven't.
No.
You were very
don't look
Paris
at me. Don't you
circa.
Don't you dare look at me like this, like I'm this weirdo. Besides, the story that I have isn't even about me.
Okay. No, because all no, I'm no, picturing no, no. is you like a 3310 leaning against your lap. It's no angle.
Can you imagine? It's like the height of sexiness. Let's film ourselves tonight. Yeah, good idea. I just got to turn the light on because I got no flashes to the 3310. Wait, no, it's very grainy. Wait, how many megapixels is that? Pixels? 100 pixels?
Yeah, Samsung E250.
So I at one stage was actually employed by a company, and we had these super smart, clever phones. They were crap, but I mean, they would do things because...
Uh-oh.
Wow, I just received a picture.
Wait, what picture?
Okay, that's it.
That is hilarious.
That's distracting.
what is going on, Ben? No. Now you have to explain the picture.
That's funny. So we had these phones, right? And they had cameras. And for many of us in this job, it was the first time we ever had video cameras in our phones.
Mm-hmm.
So my phone broke, so I had to send it in. The guy's phone who I got had just been fired, right? But it was the only phone because it needed to be a certain phone for a certain program that we were running for these jobs. So I get this phone and think nothing of it. I take a few pictures from an event I'm at, go through the pictures. There's a video on this phone.
Oh, no.
So the guy that was fired basically filmed him and I imagine his girlfriend or love interest at the time having sex. And this guy had the biggest cock you've ever ever comprehend.
You feel so down after that?
No. Okay. I didn't feel down. It's just that, like,
yes.
You know, you're expecting, okay, wow, this guy's doing, but like, and it was just...
you had to watch.
I mean, it was an ambitious role for this camera's capabilities, right?
Yeah.
But it was everywhere. And like, and like, I knew the dude, and we were still on talking terms, but I mean, it was just everywhere. It was a big screen, and it was just all over. And this girl, yes. I mean, it's just, I was thinking, shame, this is going badly. So, obviously, I delete the video, but now I see him, and it's like, what do you...
Yeah, that's all you see.
So, he's like, you see him for drinks, and it's like... So, I see you got my phone. Yeah. Nothing.
So you never told him?
I never said,
he never suspected or figured out that,
He probably thought he deleted it, or he probably just didn't, I don't know. I mean, like, he sounded very drunk at the time. When obviously, there was audio attached to this thing.
Oh, my goodness. I would never look at Bill from finance the same way again.
But like, imagine that, like, in a workplace, you see something like that. Like, that whole, what was that chick's name, Margaret, in that WhatsApp group? She showed her hoo-ha by mistake?
The Afrikaans lady.
Yes.
Because she thought she was sending it to her husband only, but then it ended up in the group.
So you got to think, right? If a woman in her, let's just say, mid-40s she was?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say of a mature age, if they're hoo-ha picking each other, right?
Mm.
Yeah. And you got guys on their work phones, just massive cock. Like, everyone's kind of doing something.
Yeah.
What's his name again, Ben? You were saying?
The guy with the big schlong that was just everywhere. It was everywhere.
Seriously, you could have gone to war with this thing.
Where did he live again?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in... Sure, 10, 12 years.
Don't you worry, I'll make sure I... Okay, never mind. Never mind, let's leave that.
Yeah.
So what picture did you just receive?
None of your business, Lucas.
Oh, you see. That's how we know.
There's a young hoo-ha there, guys.
That is how we know. Somebody was listening to this conversation and has just sent Ben something inappropriate.
It's okay, look, fine, I'll share. It's my girlfriend. She has a great sense of humor.
Okay.
She listens to the show. And
that's right.
I'm leaving it at that.
That's right, Daniela. You work it, girl. Work it.
Mama, did you get anything? I know you've got lots of followers.
No.
Right, so I guess, as Lucas is saying, this is the time where you send some sexy pictures to Mabali on Twitter, at Mabali Malloy.
Oh, no.
That's right.
So Andrew on the WeChat said, I had a situation with a contractor at my site who destroyed my house. I sent an SMS back in the day to bitch to my partner and called the contractor a cunt. I mean, pants. So I received a lawyer's letter and a 50,000 rand defamation suit.
Yeah,
but I mean, he... I suppose you just can't call people certain things.
Jeepers.
Can you really? Like,
apparently you can.
Wow. Wait, now, like, did Andrew have to pay? Did they settle this? Did they?
Oh, I don't know. I think Andrew might be a sore topic. He doesn't want to elaborate further than that.
Oh, man, that's messy.
Well, I get back to my phone and everyone else cools down from...
Ben needs to go for a long toilet break.
See, that is revolting. I'm going nowhere near the toilet right now. I'm just going to professionally conduct the rest of the show.
It's fine, Ben. You can think about meowsas. You'll relax.
You know what also...
Because that's making it worse.
You know what also does get embarrassing is when friends share video clips with you where you download the video and then you start playing it. And then as you start playing it, your volume is on blast and it's an inappropriate video. And then you scramble around to like try and... Yes. So every time I receive either a video or a voice note on my cell phone, and if I'm in public, I immediately take my earphones out, plug it into the phone, and I listen that way.
Rather be on the same
Because you can't
side.
Trust what clip is going to pop up on your phone.
Because friends are the worst, eh? Yeah. You know, like... I was just finding out last night, there was this statistic done. 30% of millennials who receive nude or sexy pictures from a spouse or someone they're just freaky-deaky with actually will share those pictures with their friends.
Happens.
I once had this awkward moment where I was in a taxi and this guy in the backseat was watching porn. And like, you know, you don't know what to do. Like, and this guy's watching porn and... It becomes this awkward moment in a taxi. You don't know what to say. Should you say something to him or not?
Like, we've got to control these urges that we have. These phones are telling the world who we are, and we're not always comfortable in knowing other people knowing that. Anyway, we've got to get on to the interview that Gareth had, right? Okay. With James Muir and Roland van Niekerk. Now, these guys are tech entrepreneurs who met while working on a tender for something that literally fell out of the air. James Muir, don't look so frightened.
No, what does that mean? Are they like Chicken Little and something?
No. But anyway. So James and Roland were destined to work together, basically. They've now created something that's set to revolutionize how you watch TV. And Gareth gets the ideas behind their vision and what is possible with entertainment technology going forward. And this is what I was mentioning yesterday. Now you get to hear the whole interview and this amazing product.
CliffCentral.com.
James Muir and Roland van Niekerk are here. They're tech entrepreneurs. They sent me something a while ago called the Media Box, which is essentially like a one-stop shop for every kind of streaming service. Am I right? That's best. Right. You see, I do get it. I plugged the thing in. I switched it on. Apart from a reasonable internet connection at home, I had no problems at all. And by reasonable, I mean like that's the only impediment to my full enjoyment of the Media Box. But I love talking to people who've invented solutions to people's problems, because that's how you're going to become billionaires, the two of you. From my mouth to God's ears, right?
Yes, exactly.
Wouldn't it be nice to be billionaires in your 30s, 40s? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I'll settle with 40s.
Yeah, not bad. So listen, you two, we'll get into the story of how you met a while ago, but you've just come back from Silicon Valley.
That's right, yeah.
That must have been an interesting trip. Who did you see? Where did you go? What did you do? Because I went there last year. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, I mean, just a bit of background on that. Late last year, we actually, MediaBox entered a Demo Africa competition, and we were one of the five winners that won that event. And so, obviously, you know, The outcome of that trip was basically 10 days in Silicon Valley. A very curated sort of trip.
Well, so that's what you want. You don't want to sit around in hotel rooms and sun yourselves in the California autumn.
And don't you? Oh, yeah, not in the autumn.
Well, spring.
So we were one of 600 entrants into demo.
Yeah.
And then they whittled us down to 30. And then we all had a booth and presented or pitched to the guys at the Sandton Convention Center over 2 days. And then, yeah, we were picked as, you know, one of the top five. So they sent us over.
And what kind of stuff did you do there? I mean, like, where did you go?
So it was very, it was actually quite intense. I mean, the first 3 days, we just basically sat, they booked us into, this really nice Airbnb, had, house, all five startups.
And what, you had sessions where people came in and told you, how Silicon Valley works. And
all that kind of stuff. Right. And, but also, they gave us, a real good crash course in terms of, how term sheets work, how the Valley thinks, how they talk, walk the walk, talk the quick.
And then they introduced you to a couple of dodgy venture capitalists, I'm sure.
We met a recovering venture capitalist. That
was quite fun, yeah.
Because these people, what they see, they want to get involved. They want to swoop in and buy things when they're cheap.
Yep.
And basically say, this is my next great investment. There's almost more competition between the venture capitalists to identify a really good idea than there is between tech entrepreneurs to find the good idea.
So they're a bit like, if you take our banks, they're quite similar. FNB is the pioneer and we'll try everything.
Yeah.
And then the other ones get all jealous and they need to get on the bandwagon.
Correct. Well, so FNB is arguably not there anymore.
Yeah. But that's also like venture capitalists, right? They get burnt a bit and they go, well, we'll follow the next trend.
Mm. Yeah, but it takes balls to do this stuff. And it must have taken you guys a long time and a lot of money to get to this stage, because everybody looks at it and goes, oh, I could have thought of that.
Yeah, thinking of things and doing them are those two really different kind of ideas and challenges. I mean,
yeah, there was probably some guy in the 1500s who saw the Mona Lisa and went, oh, I could have done that.
So we,
but you didn't.
We were like, we had the idea originally, and then we set out to do it over, it's taken us 3 years to get to the product that you saw, or you've been using. And along the way, many times, if you'd said, do you wish you'd never come up with this idea? I would have said, absolutely.
Well, listen, it's hard to do what you've done for a number of reasons. I mean, the technology is one thing. That's almost the easy part. The hard part is how many people want to stop you from doing this. Because what you guys are dealing with is content producers and content owners and media businesses, and these people are not willing to give up anything for nothing, and they realize that the consumer is probably going to go and download illegally 90% of the stuff that they've got on their laptops or on their desktops anyway, and you guys present a way for everybody to win. But they don't necessarily make the money that they might have made back in the good old days. So they somehow think they're trading down, even though you're giving them a lifeline.
Mm. Absolutely. I think it's a difficult message to get out. It's not difficult for the consumer because we're bringing everything onto one platform. So it's a natural buy for them. And also it's something they deserve, I think, rather than having a separate box for every service you use.
Yeah, but now you can't have friends in media businesses. None of them like you.
They don't hate us. If you take Showmax and DSTV, they're working with us. But I think they kind of see the future as well. Do we have friends in, local producers yet? No, but I think that's where the real value is going to come in for the indie guys. When we onboard them, they'll suddenly be able to make money rather than get a million hits on YouTube and make, $1,000.
Yeah, and how do you monetize this stuff?
So,
for them, first of all, and then for you, and then for the consumer.
Yeah, so I think definitely what you're saying, back to that whole media content play, what's happening now with subscription VOD is very much what's happening, what's happened with music and Spotify, right? That's the future. It's definitely.
Yeah, but the artist makes bugger all off of Spotify.
So totally. And the content creators, this is a new model with internet being ubiquitous, broadband coming down. It's the only way to go. It really is. And it's about embracing, for those guys, slowly but surely embracing platforms like what we're doing in the device markets. To really sort of hedge their bets, and that's a big play that Showmax and those guys are doing from the NASPA sort of thing. But the way we monetize, so we, if you want to put it that way, we're like sort of the Switzerland of content. So we very agnostic. We don't say okay guys, we make sure everyone works together one place, because for the consumer it is important that they can consume all their content in one place, not a fragmented sort of device area. And what we do is our ambition is to own content discovery. So MediaBox's long term is to have own content discovery and recommendation engine around that, and there's huge advertising backed monetization channels. So we will monetize by basically opening ad channels for content creators to promote their shows and basically reduce their customer acquisition cost. Mm. So that's one pillar of our sort of, you know, monetization strategy, as well as and that's one of the big things we were talking about with some content partners in the Valley, was to build out a sort of a curated platform, well, a platform for local content producers that is the high quality, but that is not necessarily going to get prime time on like, you know, DSTV mm. and those kind of guys. Yeah. So we're busy working on that as well. So we've got a content play, and then we've got a sort of like this content discovery sort of angle to it. Yeah.
It's probably a bugbear you've had. Well, using the device, you want to watch an episode of House of Cards.
Yeah.
And the way licensing works, DSTV sometimes has the latest episode, or Netflix might. So what we're trying to do is reduce that headache for starters and say,
yeah, we don't actually care where we get it from.
No, right? We don't, right? You Nobody just want cares. The latest episode.
It's like, who cares if you're watching it on SABC3 or exactly. ETV or Mnet? Nobody gives a damn about the channel.
So we combine all of them into a single search engine. So then you can say, oh, well, I'm subscribed to Showmax. Okay, it's on there. Great. Oh, but the latest episode's on Netflix. I'll subscribe to Netflix so I can watch that. Just making it easier for the consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you have to have memberships with all of these different
businesses. The way we're going to do it is, you don't have to have memberships with all of them. It'll come up. Let's say you want to watch the latest episode. We're in the beginning, because it's a new market, we're going to tell people where that episode is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're registered, great. If not, you can wait for it to come on the one you are registered.
Okay. So there are different options available.
Yes.
What kinds of unique content propositions do you have? Because it wouldn't be good enough to just be an aggregator of already existing content. Because for a lot of people, well, you know, even though it's convenient to have it all on one device, why bother?
So we've got, we're looking at tail end premium content, which is your older movies on the premium side, which your Showmaxes and your DSTVs and to a degree your Netflixes even don't show because it's too tail for them. And that would be onboarded using an advertising video on demand base. So it's free content. You watch a few ads for a feature length film. Okay, something like.
How many ads do I have to watch?
You probably have to watch an ad every 20 minutes or half an hour.
Oh, fuck you.
have you watched cable in the States?
terrible.
No, so what do you charge an advertiser?
Typically it's CPM model. And you can go
cost per?
Cost per mil. So cost per thousand, really.
Okay.
So cost per thousand impressions.
Okay. Yeah.
And because it's
and people will watch the ads?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they have content. To. You can't fast forward them.
No, no, but the point is that they won't go, oh, well, I'm out. This is interrupted. But it's come right in the middle of my movie.
No. Because it's totally free, right? So, I mean, there's absolutely no cost to.
But you know what people are like, though? People are full of it. I mean, YouTube, right? Let's take YouTube for an. And again, guys, I think this is a brilliant idea, and I think it's a great device. So I'm not criticizing you. I'm just looking at it from a consumer point of view. Mm. You go to YouTube. I have never, ever watched one of those YouTube pre-reel ads, ever. As soon as it says, skip this ad, I'm in there. It's the fastest move I ever make on the internet. So I think maybe there has to be a better way, and maybe we still haven't figured out what that is, because we're all in media, right?
So AVOD works well if you want to watch something for free. As a participant in the market, let's say, watching something.
Sure.
But you can also pay away to get rid of those ads.
Correct.
Be part of the model. So let's say you don't want to watch ads on the tail end content, like an old Indiana Jones movie or something. you basically pay $5 a month or whatever the case may be, and suddenly those ads all disappear for everything you watch that's free.
That's exactly. I mean, YouTube.
Pay. That makes sense.
YouTube has just launched that actually in beta.
Red,
YouTube
Thank
Red.
God.
So you can actually have $9 a month, something like that.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'd pay that for.
Totally.
I'm on YouTube a lot. I don't want to have to watch those crappy ads. It's always for car companies.
Yeah.
Who are most of your clients in terms of the actual advertising?
So the advertising is at this moment very. We haven't actually released it, you know, actively on the unit yet.
Sure.
So that's definitely going to be. But what we wanted, there's two ad models. So we all have in-video ad models, sort of like, you know, in the content of pre-content, and that'll be open to anyone. And it's going to be quite a high CPM rate. So you typically have your banks and you know your big blue chips kind of you know capturing that those sort of eyeballs. But then sort of the catalog marketing. So how that works is you have aggregation of catalogs and content discovery, and there we will have like a really prime ad spots where a content producer can float one of their shows, like want to promote their shows.
So Showmax
sure. released a new, you know, the new season of Orange is the New Black, you know, that kind of, it's the, they can float it right to the top of the home screen for a cost per thousand. And but that ad channel will only be exclusively available for content creators, and no one else.
And further to that, with the recommendation engine in place, once that's going, then you have a user who wants to watch Orange is the New Black getting that advert. So you're not shotgunning it out.
No, it's you're target marketed.
Yeah, you're targeting it. So they want to see it anyway.
That's smart. Now let's just talk about how you guys met, because you're an unlikely team.
Yeah.
You were working on a tender for SAA.
Yes.
And then they cancelled the tender because they ran out of funds, because Dudumieni was busy pocketing huge amounts of cash and buying unnecessary things.
We were highly frustrated. We just flew back from the valley.
We were on flights with Wi-Fi, and we're there, two guys sitting on the plane going, we know how the satellite, the link budgets, everything works. We got to the level where we were getting packs made for the A320 aircraft for SAA.
So you were going to make it possible, because this is one of my frustrations. I like to use the time I'm on a plane to do some work, because it's the one place in the world where people can't get hold of you, because you can say I'm on a flight, but if you want to, you can do some work. But you need to sometimes do a bit of research. You need to get on the internet.
Yeah.
And being on... Most airlines these days offer some kind of onboard Wi-Fi broadband.
In the first world, yes.
So SAA don't?
No. Well, they didn't buy our solution, so...
In my opinion, it's another reason not to choose them.
Can I just add that entire solution, in terms of booked seats using the SAA averages, would have cost you, the person flying... To have it free as part of your ticket,
£22.50. See, I mean, I'd be more than willing to pay that.
At the time, of course.
What kind of speeds are we talking here in the air?
So, because you have some planes landing and some taking off the whole time, we were looking at about between 4 and 8 megabits. Now that sounds
better than I get at home.
It sounds slow, but if you think about it, Telkom are aggregating your 4 meg line by 40 or 50 people.
I'm happy.
Are you happy?
4 to 8 megs. So why did they not make this happen? I mean, to me, this is an obvious value add to the customer. Or are they going to tell us the customer doesn't matter again, and that it's more important that we pay for the non-existent board to get their big, overinflated, fatuous salaries?
Well, I can't answer. I don't know why they haven't done it. It is expensive to go the satellite route. But funnily enough, there's also, for Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, Bloem, all of those routes, you could use cellular by just putting an antenna on the bottom of an aircraft.
It seems,
and get LTE on the plane.
It seems like they do not want to make it better for us to fly.
Our argument was, if you're a law firm or Telkom or whoever their big corporate clients are, as SAA, they're going to happily pay up so they can billable hour the person on the plane.
Sure.
Because they can't billable hour them if there's no internet. Literally.
It makes perfect sense. So they cancelled that. You guys landed. You were like, oh, shit. All right. Now we've got to think of something else. Luckily, you were already figuring out the media box solution. Now, how long until this thing gets out to the market?
Took us basically 3 years. It's a complex.
You can go out and buy one now.
Yeah. It was a complex task because we had to build relationships with the local players. More importantly, because Netflix works on everything already, so that wasn't a huge bugbear for us. But Showmax and DStv have DRM requirements, which we work with them. We're actually currently working with DStv to get their UX even improved on our system, so it's a better nav experience and things like that. So it's a constant work in progress, but it took us 3 years basically to get to where we are now.
Who are your major competitors? Apple TV?
Yeah, we're Apple TV are a competitor. We're about a third of less than Apple TV.
I've got both now, but Apple TV is useful for me because I can play the music from my study into the rest of my house.
Okay.
That I like. Mm. It seems like an easy, simple thing, but I mean, you know, I could probably do that on MediaBox.
You could. You just got to download
figure
an
it
app
out. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, you're sorted there.
All right. Less devices is better, right? People are tired of having, like you used to. I remember like a component hi-fi rack. Do you remember that shit?
Yeah.
And then you had your decoder. Now you've got a PVR or a what do they call it? Explorer. Mm-hmm. Then you have to have your amp, then you have to have your DVD player, or your Blu-ray player, or your PS4, or your PS whatever, and then you have to have this, and you have to have that, and eventually you have so many devices connected to the goddamn thing, it doesn't have enough inputs to the back of the amp.
Yeah.
You're saying this one thing solves everything.
That was the vision, right?
But I mean, that's great. That's,
so, yeah. Like, we said, right, like 3 years back, we said, okay, streaming video is going to be a major thing.
It's in the Africa. Future.
It's going to be the future, right? And we said, like, we started playing around with stuff. We wanted to get our own content, you know, stream our own content from one place. And we're just like, there's just nothing out in the market. Rokus, you always have to, like, jailbreak. And
what are Rokus?
Rokus is another TV box competitor.
It's a big one in the States.
Yeah, they're very well known there.
You know, when we pitch to American VCs, we tell them we're the Roku of Africa, so they get it straight away.
Yeah, they totally get it. So, and we just basically realized that there's a space for, bringing a hardware unit, you know, that supports every single television in Africa. So it can do analog box TVs as well as digital TVs.
Yeah.
And that is open so that people can install apps and can, you know, everything works.
I think, you know, without turning this into the longest advertorial ever for a product, because I mean, I wouldn't want to talk to you guys just on the basis that you've invented something that you're trying to sell. I'm interested in the thinking that goes behind these kinds of things and the fact that you've had to develop relationships over 3 years. Yeah. And a lot of people think it's very easy in a tech world to be able to put something together, have a minimum viable product, go out there and suddenly you're making millions.
I can tell you we did originally. Mm. And then the reality sets in, and then you want to create something that can stand toe-to-toe with anything else that's out there.
Sure. And you know, that's you important. To, especially because these days, you know, your borders are not going to protect you from internal competition.
Exactly. Right.
So you have to have something that works all over the world. Have you made any money yet?
We're making turnover. Are we making profit in terms of a business? Well, not yet. But, you know, the sales are going extremely well.
Good.
It's a very new kind of segment that we are opening up, I think. I think the traditional Apple TV guys are going to be, you know, they're probably watching Netflix, and I think you can do Showmax on the new one as well. But, you know, it's the linear TV that's going to get people to switch over to cord cutting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Bloomberg News, for instance, to do some online, to get them on board as a channel.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking at some other linear channels we can get, and maybe not the mainstream sports, stuff like, you know,
that's where Ben gets excited.
And exactly, all these kinds of extra.
What are you looking for that you don't have currently, Ben?
More golf, better golf. More golf stuff. You know, because there's a golf channel overseas in America, right? So that's 24/7, just goes on and on.
And you wouldn't sleep.
No, I would. But I'd be fresh to go play golf, but it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think those kind of things, and maybe we're also investigating really in the beginning stages of possibly doing content deals for live sports and events that have passed. So if you want to get something cheaper,
that's the angle. This has to happen, right?
Yeah.
You spoke about premium movies that are kind of off the rotation for all channels.
Mm-hmm.
There's no flashback channel that you can access, right? SuperSport has a vault. They have everything. I remember because I used to work in advertising, and we'd have to go and search for clips for sponsors to put ads together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've got these huge sort of old archives of like Cricket World Cup '92.
And here's Hansi. Hansi's just been paid a bribe by the Indian bookies, and he's about to go out and pretend to hit a six, and then, oh, look, he's out. With the benefit of hindsight, we can watch this old stuff now and see where the crookery happens live. Well, live in a sense, because we're sitting here now deconstructing the bullshit that came before.
So how cool would it be to go back to 1990, I don't know, six.
Yeah.
When there was that rained out test match in Centurion, when Hansi got a patch leather jacket and suddenly there was a, they declared both innings, him and Michael Atherton. Atherton's like, what the hell? Okay, sure, why not? And then they lost. Wow. So there's games like that we'd love to see. But then, say for instance, Super Rugby Now, right? How cool would it be to show Super 10 back in the day and have a channel or access to that kind of stuff? Or there's like a...
Well, how about just reminding people what it was like when the Springboks used to win?
There we go.
And there are a lot of people in South Africa who would love to live in the past in that respect. Yeah. Because the future and the present is so bleak.
You won't find any more nostalgic people in the whole world than sports fans.
Sure.
Totally.
Yeah, the Springbok winning channel.
How about all those Eastern European women, in inverted commas, who used to win at the Olympics?
That would be great to see.
With their big broad shoulders and their balls. Who wouldn't want to watch that? Right?
Like, is something like that possible? Because I've tweeted Supersport so many times saying, you guys need an archive flashback channel. And every time I do it, I get responses going, oh, great idea. Yeah. Why don't you do this? And people are saying, then I wouldn't mind paying however much a month. Mm. Like, there's a huge demand for this kind of stuff. And the content's there. It doesn't just die.
Listen, I've always believed there are only two places that live television will continue to live. Mm. If you'll pardon the pun with the word live here, or live, is that... You need to have live sport, mm-hmm. and you'll need to have live news.
Correct.
Everything else can be saved to disk.
And on demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that anyone shouldn't be able to access stuff from the very dawn of television, because it's all part of some giant universal cloud archive.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. I mean, we totally agree with you. That's what we're trying to help.
So is there any kind of content that I'm leaving out here when it comes to what should be live and what should be on demand, or is there a universe of stuff that we're not paying attention to? That's it, right?
It's news and sport. I don't see anything else needing to be live at all. And even sports only
game
live.
Game shows? The lottery draw?
That kind of does need to be live. I suppose.
I'm trying to expand the thought here.
It still exists.
I don't know. I've never watched the lottery draw live. Could care less.
I don't know. Maybe there could be something, you know, special reality shows that could also be live, just so you can see, you know, people kind of screw up. I don't know.
Yeah, probably reality TV. I suppose there's a component to that people would want to watch live. Hmm. You know, major events, things that transcend just being a part of a live show and become like major events in the world.
Yeah, like the Kardashians, right? Yeah.
Sure. I mean, people want to know what's happening to Kim's giant behind in real time.
Exactly.
Okay, but the scope is limited. You either have live or you have on demand. No. There are no other categories.
Really, I don't. No. We don't see it. I mean, there's, you know, we've been using this device in all forms and shapes for 3 years, and the only thing that is a bugbear is news and sport.
Yeah.
I mean, and that isn't anymore, because with the release of us, it's not a problem.
Right. And also, people want things that are cost effective too. They don't want to have to pay for stuff they're not using.
We think that long term, NASPERS, DSTV are going to do an online only subscription. They have to.
Yeah.
Because if in 5-10 years they have the opportunity of switching off a satellite, I mean, that's a big deal.
Well, even satellite radio in America, they have much the same approach, that they realize more and more people, instead of getting the satellite subscription, going for the online subscription, that's where their business model is moving to. So whether it's audio, video, or both, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
It'll have to be. Well, listen, well done to you guys. The Media Box is what we wanted to talk to you about primarily, but then I just like talking to people who are doing interesting stuff in this digital environment. It's exciting.
Thank you. And we're happy to offer your listeners a good deal on the Media Box if you would like to do that.
No, let them pay.
Okay. No problem.
No, I mean, people got to what sort of special deal are you talking about here?
Oh, we'll give them 10% off.
Where can they go?
They can go to our website. They just have to use a code that says Cliff Central.
Okay, Cliff Central on?
On mediabox.co.za.
All right, if you're interested, go to mediabox.co.za, type in the code Cliff Central, and they might just have a special deal for you.
Sure.
In fact, you will have a special deal.
Yes.
All right, there we go. Okay, there we go. We just did a deal live, so you now you know. Make it happen.
For the month of March.
For the month of March.
For the month of March.
Yeah. There we go. All right, very good. Thank you, gents.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. That's James Muir and Roland van Niekerk, who are tech entrepreneurs. They've invented the Media Box, and they've also come up with some other good ideas, which hopefully we'll see roll out in the future. Because once you start down this path, forever must it dominate your destiny.
tech stuff. It's lovely. All right, very, very good. CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, so the Media Box could be yours. Go on to mediabox.co.za. And, CEO, just because we love our listeners, there we go. We've got a deal. So Cliff Central as your promotional code there, and 10% off that amazing product. I've been using it for a few days now. Really cool.
Okay, it's still cool, even though it's not a sex toy. Yeah.
It simplifies everything. It's the size of like a really like a pack of cigars, and you can just watch everything through there. So we've got Alan Ford in the studio right
How
now.
How are we? Yay! Oh, I tell you, I'm tired.
Which means it's Thursday.
Yes.
See, I always know what day it is from certain guests. So Friday, I always know because John T's here.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, I always know because Alan's here. So, Alan, you are the person of Thursday.
I am the Thursday. Thursday boy. You
know. Wednesday, I always know because it's Andrew Levy. And he comes in here and starts harassing my belly. So, Alan, what's on the Unview today?
Oh, it's a great show. We're so blessed. A well-known actress. She's an award-winning. She's won a few awards. Jessica Nkosi comes into studio.
She looked gorgeous at the polo last weekend.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then we've got Andre Swartz discussing the new Pinocchio, the pantomime, coming out. And then, of course, we've got Nathan Rowe joining us again.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, I can't wait to have fun with him. I really wish he was
Alan, let's skip it to the radio show.
Seriously.
I'd so go there.
He's so cute, man. He's blonde. I love blondes. Oh. And he's so cute. And he's got And he can sing, and he's got a little bit of a stomach, which is cute.
Yeah, and he's also turning back home. He's listening to this right now, thinking, okay, I'm not coming in today.
Just 8 years later,
we'll discuss.
8 years, that's awesome.
Anyway, so, yeah, it's going to be a great show. I was in the Medikwe, the bush, for the past, about the 40th, for the past 6 days.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we drank all the whiskey from Scotland.
But in the bush?
That was great. It was really good. Guys, I'm telling you, the game in some of these national parks was just phenomenal.
Mm. And we have such good rains, too. So it's beautiful right now.
It's beautiful. Northwest Province is beautiful at the moment. Cape Town's suffering. But Northwest is great.
It's fine. We don't live in Cape Town.
Shame.
I live there half the time. But it's a great show. Yeah, we got a good show lined up.
Very nice. Well, that is our show for the whole day today. You can stay on for Alan and his guest on the Unview and a whole bunch of other things right now on cliffcentral.com. Sia, any passing thoughts?
Always zip it up. That's my passing thought.
Sounds very contrary to what you believe in, though.
I completely think always zip it down.
Yes!
Channel of Contrast. That's it. That is Thursday done. Back tomorrow, Friday special. We're going to find some more one-hit wonders that we should have stayed at one-hit wonders. I think it's a decent theme for music. But yeah, for me, Ben, my buddy's already left. She loses interest in us quite quickly.
Oh, no.
catch you back tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.